There are three things there, but Margaret is the one who has done the job of the work. And besides us, Rita, others who have helped with testing and opening, especially service, and yes.
Do you have your mic?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, sorry.
Next one? The writing a brand new install was the new tech team is infrastructure. So it well, it made more sense to start from scratch than to try to direct the old install new tech team infrastructure. And well, this made it possible to streamline all the stuff. For instance, we now have only one install. There used to be a sales page for Unix users, and a TechOptiK and Perl installer for technical installers for Windows, and now it's just one program. The difference between text mode and graphics mode is just the interface. The menu module with the same backend. And well, we have split off the separate installing of packages afterwards and changing settings and everything like that. And the maintenance tool is called the CLMGL Tech Life Manager. At the moment, it doesn't have a GUI yet, but it's supposed to be there, and in fact, well, it's going to be released. Well, what the real baby, which is also visible to end users, that's network installation. We're going to demonstrate that too. So you download just a small installer file, then the installer will download everything else. So if you just want small tech installation, you only have to download a little bit. If you want a large tech installation, then you probably have to download more. Of course, MinTech has had this for ages, but now we have it. Well, there are some less visible changes. PDF tab has been replaced with the UR tab. Now it's still PDF tab, but it's UR as picking languages. So we can use UR for scripting, and different pieces of the installer and of the NCR are also done in tab UR. It eliminates a lot of possibilities.
Yes.
Well, I think
building, first windows. It's going to download the score from the internet, which is necessarily on the record.
So did you see the size? It's about 2 megabytes at the moment.
And the next window is dollar, which includes a subset of Perl. The Unix installer is really tiny, 120. That's the only difference. So the Windows version is 2 megabytes bigger because it has to include Perl.
You probably know this.
Yes, now we double click install.plus. Now you can arrange this for these windows so that you can see what's happening in the DOS window. Well, we first pick smaller speed to be basic, otherwise it takes quite a few more. Let's create all total, create all format files and also follow the documents.
So that actually gets now the packages which are compressed so hard and then accepting 8 from the Linux side Apache.
From the
internet. Which has to be arranged.
So what is left over, in fact, is only TechMF Docker, which was created, but environment variables.
The environment variables.
Environment is clean, completely clean.
Even if I installed some of the other stuff in the beta.
Yeah. And depending on what you mean with
the. You mean the disk is also formatted?
Yes, about a lot of this would not have been possible if we we tried to keep the differences between Windows and Linux and Unix limited, and it was so really strict. We dropped the 44 and 98 and all the Linux versions.
Older than 2000.
Older than 2000. The newer Windows versions are considerably more solid and they have much improved command line, although it's still no match for a regular Unix shell. I already mentioned the link flow in both kits. We still have to think what to do on the OS X. Now, I also saw the uninstall.
What does it mean? Hidden now.
Not available to other software outside the DAC system.
That means that
it is completely hidden from the outside world. It is something installed somewhere, but without so environmental variables, without passes, it's only it's minimal, it's stripped down to the minimal.
So I cannot use it.
No.
If I need GhostScript, I have to install it once again, or
if you know that it is there, you can use it if you want.
Yeah. Okay, but.
You have to do all the
is it possible that it will conflict?
No,
will conflict
no,
by,
no.
By
if it does,
if you install a decent GhostScript in addition or a full feature, then you don't want any problems.
So all it
costs
you is some megabytes of disk space.
Yeah.
The problem is
and the same is Pro.
Yeah.
But the problem is you want to have the scripts which are there, like EBS to PDF and this kind, running out of the box without needing the users to install additional software.
Mm-hmm. Now, the hidden GhostScript is already a feature of
what? MiTek.
Windows.
Yeah. Well, on the 6 it's not needed. There was one more slide. I also wanted to present the portable thing. There's a Linux version in there.
I have a Linux version.
Otherwise, we just do the screenshots.
The screenshots, yeah, I have it here.
That is the last screenshot.
The last one.
This one, please. I'm afraid most people will have trouble to read it. But the trick is that the DVD has a script, TL portable, that sets up an environment in which you can run the text from the CD. The first time you run it, it generates some
from the DVD, there's no CD.
So you can carry the DVD with you and you have instant stack which also heads up to the system. And nobody will know that you use it. And if you put it on a USB stick, then it will notice that it's on a writable medium, so all the generated files will be put on the USB stick instead of your own directory. So next time you use the USB stick somewhere else, the virus will send generated
files. How big should the USB stick be? These? Gigabytes?
No, 1 gigabyte.
More than two. If there is one, you can't, I didn't understand it. You have to copy the installation of the USB and carry a USB stick.
Yeah.
Yes. How big? How much space do you need?
Yeah, in fact, you copy the DVD or parts of the DVD, like what you need. You leave out the binaries, whatever, no, if you don't want to carry all the binaries. And for that,
that's too heavy, isn't it?
No, well, you can, so either you can divide some stuff, or you can get a 4 gigabyte USB stick with a coming down in price, and then you can just copy the whole lot.
2 gigabytes should be enough for the full installation, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But one is not enough.
1 is not.
2 gigabytes should be enough
for the.
I actually have a USB stick which I use for testing, and I drop some stuff so that it fits if anybody wants to try it.
Look. Not now.
Oh yeah, okay. I have it. So this is all.
Yeah. We move to fluently to the next session, which is the new infrastructure for TechLife and the installer. Norbert will continue with that, but in general, we should go with the assembly, change the assembly, Norbert Infrastruktura, the TechLive, the installer.
You have read already, well, let's start. The funny thing is that I remember last year I was here talking about Debian, TechLife and Debian, and morning, this afternoon, this evening, we were discussing in this corner about what we could do, but it was so bad last year with the installation and the DVD reading, and well, at that time I was talking just a bit around, and yeah, following the Buffertech conference, I started to read through the threads in the internal discussion mailing list, and then implemented something just for the fun of it, very simply. The problem is it stayed till now and was extended to a huge amount. So this is now the new TechLife infrastructure. We had already a tweet from SIP. Okay, speaking about TechLife, a short introduction, okay. Includes all the free stuff from the comprehensive tech output network. And one of the big advantages is that it is available for a huge amount of platform operating system combinations. I mean, I think we ship more than Debian. Well, Debian has only one operating system, but quite a lot of platforms, while the TechLife has quite a lot of combinations. And what is going on currently, or in the last year, is that TTech is replaced by TechLife in all the distributions. So Debian and Ubuntu, SUSE, Red Hat has switched, Fedora is as far as I know. So this is something which is, yeah. Yeah, how is it up organized? What we are doing here, we have a Subversion repository where quite a lot of people
people have write access, so quite a lot of people are changing stuff, and this is good, it's a collaborative effort. And yeah, there are thousands of things to be done in the background, like scripts we have written over the years, in the last years, and we have rewritten again with this new infrastructure, but yeah, the rewrite was quite fast. Well, the worst thing, and I was talking about, no, I haven't talked about this, but it's a bit last year about the update from packages on the TechAffix network into TechLive. Because on the C10 Arc mirrors that we have some arbitrary layout, how authors just upload the stuff and we have to transfer it. GMF we're working on this and it's quite fast now. So we've seen the announcement or upload of the tech mailing list. Normally within a few days we have the package also updated in the TechLive repository. It's mainly Carl and me doing this work. Then of course performing various checks on the whole archive. I mean, since it's so huge and we don't want to lose files, in the sense we have files which are not covered by our collections and this kind of stuff. All the scripts were written. But there were several problems. First, Steve already told you about this, we had XML files specifying the stuff. All the scripts were either shell stuff, parsing the XML and hoping there are no rogue line breaks or something in there. It was hard to extend. I mean, the Debian packages are created from Perl, which actually are the only packages with scripts which actually parse these DBM files, these XML files. And there was no documentation. I mean, that was this mysterious module of Fabrice, this DBM, I never understood completely. It was just trial and error. Yeah, so these DBMs we have already, they are just a mixture. It was XML, it was a mixture of file patterns and file lists, so it was somehow a method how to extract the list of files which belong to which package from some patterns. It was everything in there, title, description, license, version numbers. Now and then we updated them, we forgot them, they were out of date, they were not in sync with what is in the catalog. And it also contained information about activation of map files, formats and hyphenation patterns. So that these XML files were really uncomfortable to work with. The problems, as I said, it was a mixture of generated and static information. So we had these patterns, which were static, and the file lists, which were generated, because there was a go, you have to go over all these XML files and expand them more or less, and to find the actual files which were matched. And then, well, duplication of information, which was done, because now and then we updated it by hand or by some scripts from the tech catalog or from the ARC, from the CETAN archive, which was a bit of a problem, and of course the worst, well, it was hard to pass. I mean, the installer at that time was a shell installer, and the shell can definitely not parse XML, so we had to generate first from the XML file some pure text file, and those were used for the installer, and well, then the list files were out of date with respect to that. It was always a difficult problem. So what we discussed last year here, we wanted to have, I mean, the second point, the separation between static and dynamic, so generated content. We want to have some source where we just put as few information as possible, and then the rest is just added automatically. Then, getting rid of these additional list files, we wanted to have something that an installer can read in, and not only one installer, but in general it should be easy parsable, this stuff. And yeah, we are ready, single package updates or updates over the network should be possible. That was always something in the background, and better documentation we want to have. I mean, yeah, if people want to use it, we want to document what is used. So, as I said, I wrote a test implementation which turned out to become the reference implementation. I was speaking about the central
stuff here is we have one file which describes the complete every installation or every media we can distribute is described by one file which we call techlife.tlpdp. It's a bit redundant, but anyway. So the idea is that we have one long, simple text file where every package just occupies a certain space. Every package is tagged with a revision number so that we can, for updates, we can actually check if something has changed. Then this database is generated from a static content which we have somewhere, but it is, and in fact it's now updated every day at, I don't know, 7 o'clock in the European time, whatever. And from the static content and automatically enriched from the back catalog with additional information. And we have format completely documented in the Perl code, so you can just make a PostScript documentation. It's all POD documentation, but it's complete and every possible combination. And
is it also XML?
No, it is simple. We will see. So how does it look like? It's just a package starts with name, and then the name of the package, and then all the items. Then one line or more empty lines, you know, take it, and then the next package. For those who know Debian or Ubuntu, it's just some very similar to the packages file in Debian or Ubuntu. So after this name, you just have a sequence of key value pairs. Very simple. Text, nothing else. Separated by an empty line, one group per package, and we have some meta packages which we put in there for configuration and this kind of stuff. This is very internal stuff. Now, to zoom into this, so as example, the A0 poster, this is the full part of the TechLife database describing this package A0 poster. So what we have is the name. What category, because we have different categories for documentation, this is important for the auto-generation of the files. A revision number, so all the files, the highest revision of these files in our subversion repository is 7340. So you might ask, why don't we use the revision, the release or version number of the package? It doesn't help us, because they are not passable, they are often not present, it's just too bad. And we only change files if we update them from the comprehensive tab after network, and only in this case the revision number will change. Then we have a short one-line description and a bit longer description. They are just taken from the tech catalog. Yes?
So it may happen that you load one package with one revision, and in this package there is a file which can be superseded by another package.
No, there's no double inclusion. One package contains, there's no file in TechLife which is contained in two packages.
Oh, okay.
That's bad.
How do you know
where
the short descriptor, where the long description ends?
Yeah, because it's just the first line has to be long description and then long, and then all of these long descriptions are just merged together. It's just, they are currently not used, they are taken from the tech catalog if there is a description, if not then it's empty, but it could be used in some way to show some information.
How could you use the underscores interface?
This is a space, this signifies a space, just that you see as the space.
Okay.
It's not the underscore. So then we have normally two to three group of files. This is doc files. With the size is currently in 1K blocks. Then run files and source files should be somewhere. No, they are not. Oh well, we will see anyway. And then we have intended with one space just the list of files. But we have, if you look here, we have for the documentation files we have options. There are some optional tagging. You know that details what it is. And a language tag. These are optional, so as you see, I will come to this later on. For the run files and some else, we just have the files listed. And then we have information just taken from the catalog, as it is. I mean, this is also from the catalog, but yeah. It's if we find some version string in the catalog, a date, this is when we check the license or from when last updated, then the location on the CTAN archive network and the license. This is just update document. So you might ask, how does the source, what is the static content of this? So what is taken to arrive at this place? And it's just these two lines. It's very simple. In fact, I mean, this is something Carl changed recently. In fact, this is enough, just the line. Just name a zero poster is enough, because default is category package. Everything else is done automatically, every morning, and we don't have to care for this. Just goes over this. So we have a minimal input with static data. The rest is generated from the Subversion repository, the dev catalog, what we have. And this, oh, I already said this one moment, the documentation files could be packed with additional information, which we will later hopefully reuse. Another example from something a bit more complicated, this is the binary BigTech 8. Yeah, you know this unit. This is something new, you have dependencies. This says, please depend on bingbigtech.bar. This package does not exist, but we have packages for every architecture we support. So the reason behind this, we want to be able to install only selected architectures. I can on Linux installer, I can select, please install for me Alpha Linux, BSD, OpenBSD, whatever, and I, whatever. So you can select this possible combination, I can show this, and then only these parts are installed. And for those, we have the binary files with a tag again of the architecture and the size. Yeah, again, if you have gotten the source code, so the static pattern, we see there's something new coming up. Patterns. Yeah, it's true, we have to put some patterns for some files. Not everything is automatically done, that would be too intelligent. But we have a quite complicated pattern language here. So we have various patterns we can use. We have tricks to capture, well, to capture files for Windows and for Unix. If you look here, this means take the file, this is a tag for a file, then, well, this is expanded for all possible architectures, and if it's Win32, it's Windows, then also .exe, .bash, .tagelua, and .com or whatever, and DLL is checked. So we scoop up all stuff. If you look back here, on the Windows side we have the .exe file, and here the plane, which is a binary without exe. But this is, so the pattern language, the general, it's, we have a prefix, the type, and the pattern. Prefix could be plus, bang plus, or just bang. The interpretation, well, and just put all of them. Either just F pass, just take this file where the last item can have globe character, star, or question mark, but only the last element. D, take this directory specified and everything below. Then this is something quite funny, and it's used only in one.omega, but still it's useful. You just put several words and then, forget it. And you just put a regular regex. You can put also, this is the worst, you just put a regex, whatever you want. What is this used for the plus means? Because, let's see, they talk about this. Some examples here. So, for example, here, this Python just takes all files and take mf check take star all files under this. This I've already explained, it expands this arc and takes it. This takes all files under take mf take lambda base. All files, because this is a D. This, let's forget, it's a comma. And this is just a regular expression we can use. I won't go through this, but I want to explain this prefix. As in this first package, there was no pattern at all. So how do we find packages for files for this package? And there are auto-generated patterns. There's some rules that if under certain circumstances, patterns are auto-generated. And they are, for example, for a simple package, the idea is that from the, out 1,500 packages, about 1,200 are simple style files, which are named, where the package is named like the last directory where we put them in, and our patterns are just take everything where the last directory component is the name of the package. So this is the idea behind. And these are just here to tweak this a bit. If you normally, if you specify a pattern, then no pattern is auto-generated. But if you put the plus, that means take the auto-generated patterns and then add this one. And the bank is just for negation. Whatever you include, this you shouldn't include. So, but
the,
this,
bank, the bank itself?
Huh?
The bank itself?
It's also, don't use it. But it cancels every auto-generated pattern. So you might ask what it is for. I mean, additional tricks here. I talked about this already. The effects of this auto-generation and the tricks, I told you we want to have as few special cases as possible. We have currently, I checked yesterday, 1,644 packages, which is quite a lot. We have 172 which contain patterns, which is not a lot, but still. And of those, the binaries and the hyphenation patterns, which are always special because they are somehow specially distributed, are 123. So what leaves us with packages with patterns where we have to play a bit really are 49, which is compared to 1,600, not a lot. So this is all tricks why we tweaked it, this the auto generation works quite nice. So, but in fact this is just how to get rid, to get us rid of a lot of work, in the sense this should also be done automatically. What it is actually ends up are this is parts in the TechLife database, and here's more or less the complete description of what is allowed in Go in this file. So we have a name tag, then the category, short and long description, dependencies, so we can specify this. Execution, this is the, what I said, the post-installation stuff. If a package ship spawns, then we want to activate the map file. And this is done here. Or if we ship a new format, we want to generate the format. If we ship a new definition, but we want to recreate language, also the language.dat file, and recreate again the format of the latex based stuff. Then we have run .files for all of this. The revision number I explained already is just related to the subversion number. It's integer increasing, so it's easy to compare. And the catalog stuff. This is everything you can find in this. And it's just line-based, very easy to read. Yeah, I said we have some special packages which we, well, which will always, or not always, but most often occur. They start with 00 text left. Why? Because they are no actual contact, no zip file or XML file are generated. It's just to save information. For example, in this package, we just put configuration, we put our release number there, we put options whether we split some files off. Yeah. Then, if we have an installation done, then we have in the installation on the computer, when you have installed it, you also have one of these TechLife databases, you have this package which keeps information about your the options you have set. The installation location, from where did you install? Did you pre-generate the formats? Or did you install documentation files and source files? Why is this necessary? Because afterwards, if you want to reinstall new packages, you have somewhere, there must be some place to remember this information, and this is done in this package. And then we have some core files which are just not installed any times, just here that the coverage check does not get angry. Okay, what we have is a Perl programming API, which is completely documented. It's for end users, let's put it this way. We have three Perl models. This is TLPDB, which just manages the whole database. It spits out TLP object. This is something for one package. It describes one object. You can read the file list, the sizes, revision number, all this. And something new, but probably most people here, even working with this, will not know it. This is something which is called TechLife Post Installation. This we use currently for
for dealing with special cases, because some packages always need special cases. Context want to have its user configuration file somewhere. DVI-PDFMX, we want to adjust the DVI-PDFMX config file that is working on Windows and Linux with the like, write, go, strip, pass and this. So this is collected here. So these are the three models actually people should use in distributions or whatever, nothing else. Anything else is not important. We have many more modules which we use internally for writing our programs. This is TechLife tree, this is our subversion tree, the catalog, the source files, additional utilities and TechLife media, which just captures or abstracts away from arbitrary installation media. Yeah. Other planned, wished, hoped for programming interfaces is TechViewer. That would be far on the top of our list. Because, as Sib already told you, we have started to write quite a lot of scripts in TechViewer. Because, why? TechViewer will be here in every installation. You don't have to ship Perl or whatever. And it has built-in Capacia search as a search library. Yes?
Why TechLua, not just simple Lua?
No, because TechLua has the K-Pace search library built in. And you have to, you want to find files, and that's... No, I mean, sometimes they're okay. Okay, Python, there's minimal code from Jim Heffron, because he uses it in the Syntanarc network, but this is very basic. We have C, we have the start, we had a proposal for a Google Summer of Code project, but we didn't have enough slots. Chiang had started to write some C code. I have written something which is very bad for Bash, but at least we could extract some minimal things. And, well, whatever else, I don't know. But these are, so to say, take you a little bit. Nice. Documentation, as I said already, all modules. Not only those official, as I mean, visible from the outside, but all models have full documentation in plot format. So, because otherwise it won't help, and otherwise I forget always. Then we have an additional text API documentation, where in fact we are starting to develop the API before implementing. And then there's an article in the Ars Technica, where, and hopefully also in the proceeding of this conference, because this stuff is always slightly changing. Good, we have, so what to do more with this stuff? We have already seen the installation procedure, which, well, is more or less done. We are quite content, of course. We have always problems, and it needs quite a lot of settling stuff, especially the distribution method, because we cannot use the user group server. It will kill us if suddenly thousands of people try to download the stuff from the user group server, because it's from the university. Then, well, distribution inclusion will hopefully work well. I don't know by now. I haven't started to try the same stuff to get it working with my team.
What do you mean by distribution inclusion?
Well, SUSE, the Linux distributions, they will have the problem, because up to now they're just hacking around with the 2007, with the TPM or list files, and often
it doesn't just in the installer.
Yeah, yeah. But we have a discussion list only for the distributions, and they are starting. Yeah, TechDoc DK++. You remember I told you we have for the documentation files there's the option that it is tagged additional with information about language and details. And the idea behind this is it would be much simpler the parsing if we wouldn't have the tags. But the idea was, which unfortunately didn't continue, we had one guy who wanted to implement this and he is also able, but he somehow disappeared. Due to private reasons, not nothing. And that nice thing would be to restart this TechDoc DK. I mean, the problem is what's now, this data file for TechDoc DK is horrible, outdated mixture. I mean, it's just one man. Well, you have to add stuff there and categorize it. And I mean, this information now is here, and it would be nice if someone could start to extract from this documentation file some information. And then what we have already started is the TechLife Manager. Sib already told you about this. The idea behind this is that, well, at the beginning you want to install maybe a minimal system, but then you find that something is missing. And this is not the best option. So we have written the Tech Life Manager to deal with a lot of things. This is all what currently is implemented. So what is could be done is installation of additional packages or collections with automatic dependency installation. So you just say Tech Life Manager install collection Xtech, installs all packages which are necessary for this collection, and then you have a running Xtech. All the formats are generated, and well, you can do this afterwards. Same with removal. Yeah, of course. Yeah, the dependencies are of course that is what we have in Tech Life. This is in no way that actually 10 minutes more. No, or 10 seconds more. This is perfect. Yeah, the dependencies, of course, they are not perfect. We are trying to prove the stuff in collections, where within the collections we are sure that, well, more or less sure that everything should work, but quite often there is some, well, one package needs something else. I mean, most often authors not to know especially exactly which version they need. Okay, same with removal, so if you feel like you need disk space, and you don't want to trash all your Tech Life installation, you just remove huge spaces, pieces of it. What is here already, and this is update of all packages. So you can already type in Tech Life Manager update, and it will try to update all packages. Well, it checks what is installed with which revision, and checks on our website or on the installation source what is there, and then updates those who have checked those packages, which is already something new, and we are planning to update normal packages, definitely not binaries, definitely not, well, we'll see. But normal packages like macro packages or so on the go during the year, so that we can get a more up-to-date system. Paper configuration, like techconfig is doing, but we have a problem on Windows, we don't have a techconfig, so if you wanted to switch to letter or from letter to A4 or whatever, you couldn't, well, you always can do it by hand, of course, but most people don't know where to change the right thing. So you can switch between type paper, letter and A4 for all the important programs independently or for all of them together. Then listing of available and installed architectures. This is only for Unix version, because Windows version is only mono architecture. We cannot install on Windows some links. So, but then if you have some Unix running or AX or whatever, one of Unix-ish, then you can actually add more architectures, list what is available, add more architectures to your installation, and then you can mount it somewhere else and use it there. Searching the installed and all the available packages on the install location. If you install just a minimal subset and you're searching for whatever, I mean, I don't know, maybe Live Modern or whatever, and you don't know what's the package name of it, then you can use the search function. You can list all schemes, all collections, or even all packages, but be careful with packages. I told you it's 1600, so type it into some output. You can change these default values. I said there's this meta package which describes the installation location. You can change these values if you want to suddenly stop pre-generating format files, or if you want to change your default installation location. Then you can regenerate the three central configuration files, the format used for the formats, for the hyphenation patterns, and for the fonts. There is already very basic support for local edition, because this has always been a problem. I mean, you have the update map file and you want to add local files you have in your user local or commercial phones or whatever. And normally, if you update something, then local editions are overwritten. But we have some basic support for this. It's not as feature-rich as the video version, but this is not so easy on the Tech Life in general. But we just discussed now that this may get better. And you can uninstall the whole installation. I mean, we have seen it on Windows, you have to use this program, software. On Unix, you could just type Tech Life Manager uninstall, and everything is gone. Yeah, if this is what you want. Yeah, okay, so, but, well, if, how much time do I have? 5 minutes? Maybe a minute short? Why is my screen? I don't know. Okay, I will do some installation and show you the Take Live Manager. This is now directly from the. This is the text mode installation. For example, I can say I want to have this and Windows. Then let's say no symbol is too much. Let's take again the basic. No, let's do it. The minimal is cheap. The minimal, then the you see already here if you are using the text mode, but also the graphical installer, it's the same on Windows and Unix. If the default location is not writable, because I'm just a normal user, I cannot write user local Take Live. It just asks me, hi, please change the place. Let's do this. Let's put it in my home directory. And some, yeah, we don't need the source of the documentation files. Okay, now install the stuff.
There's no booting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yes, it is. I also, the graphical user you have seen before on Windows, it's running the same way on Unix. I just didn't select it. On Windows, it's by default, on Unix, it's by default. I have one more thing which maybe I show this. For those who want to have some, so it's also translated. The graphical one is also translated. We have it till now in English, German, and Polish. I invite everyone to contribute more translation. It's very easy. It's a text file where you just have to translate simple English file and send it best. So yeah, if there are any typing errors, it's not mine. So this is. So what can the Take Live Manager do? For example, collections. So this shows me what collections are here and also what collections have currently been installed, the collection basic. And you see this here are these short descriptions, what I mentioned before. Then you can say, okay, let's make it a bit shorter. Up there, see something? Okay, let's say we want to have, oops. Okay, we want to have LaTeX, and then it just thinks a bit and installs all the necessary stuff. Regenerates the format, then you can, what else can you do? For example, paper or letter. Switch the letter, and yeah, it's done. And yeah, I mean, more things, like for example, what you can do is just type in help, and then you get all the documentation. And unfortunately, on Windows, I don't get it to run it.
You can show the started font package.
Ah, yeah.
Ebola, for instance. Install Ebola.
Yeah, then, well, it's just regenerating all the necessary stuff, and it's immediately, it's, well, available for pages.
As a provider of Ebola, what should I have to do?
Nothing. Put your stuff on this comprehensive tech app network. Everything else will happen.
It should be consistent with CETA.
Yes. Yeah. Why CETA rules? CETA rules. Point. We include only stuff which is on CETA. There are several things
and
around.
What about such documentation that from where?
It's also on the CETA. What you put on the comprehensive dev art network will be included.
The long descriptions and where
this is from the tech catalog. When you upload to comprehensive dev art network, you have.
I have to mark what is short description, what is long description.
This
you have an interface by Gisette where you can describe what you've done.
Yeah, this is a short one line and a bit longer, and you can upload documentation files and you can back
documentation. Okay, paper last year.
Last year. That was that, well, but this is not online. So this is what is
that?
And well.
Can I?
Yeah.
Can it become installed now?
Yes, and this should, we will do this at the end of the talk. Anybody wants to try out something else before mm-hmm. I remove the whole stuff?
Mm-hmm.
No. But then I mean it's not more. So it asks yes or no, I mean because this is well and then it's gone. So if you look into the directory you it's just that HMF local is remains.
I'm not sure. Okay.
Question is, does this remove what you've done up to now? Do you remove the need to have yearly issues of the club? It sort of stinks a little bit that way, doesn't it?
We don't know. We haven't tried to know. The problem is with the update of binaries, it could be a problem. It is getting better because probably with next year's the need for pool files is completely gone. I mean, this is always a problem if you have, you know, when the pool files are different for different architectures because they compiled it from different sources. But this is already gone in CTEC, in DuaTech, so in PDFTEC, I don't know, Martin. Yeah, so it could be that with the next version it's easy to drop in new binaries.
The next version will be the last one.
No, probably not. Okay, I don't make any. I don't know. I don't know. We haven't tried and we haven't thought about it. You know, it's enough others. The idea behind is that first we only make intermediate steps for normal packages, for style files, fonts, packages, and this kind. Which does not interfere with the core. You know, the core are the binaries and the central scripts, like the this format util stuff. We could become get really big problems with this. But we will try. I mean, this is the point.
One last question. How do you?
I thought I had a last question.
No, that's just one question, and there is another one question. The question is, how do we update the installer?
I would say this is no problem, because it's just...
How do you know that you have to install the update the installer?
Because it's also a bit like the question.
So it's...
It can update itself. I'm not sure, on Windows it might not work, because on Windows you cannot overwrite and open files. You know, on Unix, I can just install, overwrite a currently executed file, I can remove it, I can do everything. On Windows this doesn't work. And this is so, that would be a problem.
You have to leave the controller, that's it.
Okay,
applications.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot. So, now
there was one more question.
Yeah, hi.
Sorry.
Then how are you dealing? You can answer why you are changing. How are you dealing with updating binaries? Is there any binary updates in the meantime?
We don't know. We haven't tried it now. The problem is that we don't know.
Now